That make a lot of sense to you last segment? Also, whether or not Owen's going to take his kids to the baseball game today, I think that makes a lot of sense. If he wants to do it, you go right on ahead. But what I said makes sense. Like, I just need him to be fine. Jamie Mack, to you, what a pathetic state of affairs to hear Ken say that he would be happy if Watson throws for 186 is so sad. He's not a developmental quarterback. He's not a rookie or some guy picked up in the supplemental draft. This needs to stop. We are wasting so much talent. If you continue to hold him to that standard, we're going to be miserable.
But I also think, Kenny,
Jamie, I don't blame you, but that's silly about it. This. Ain't coming back.
Here's what's silly about this. Won't this all fix itself? And what I mean by that is, okay, so let's say if you're of the mindset that Kevin Stefanski was protecting his quarterback on Sunday after what he saw against Dallas.
And I was.
And fine. Okay. Well, eventually, I'm sure at the start of the Patrick Mahomes era, they weren't just letting him run around, make plays, and let him just...
Well, they sat him.
Yes, he sat. That was part of it behind Alex Smith. But I'm saying, do you think week one, the stuff they were running with Patrick Mahomes was the same as what they were running in week 10?
It was definitely not, hey, let's just freelance it. And Travis, you go to the open spot. Yeah. And Patrick, you just keep running around until somebody gets open. That's not what they did.
Something in sports, or like in any facet of life, called trust. And if Deshaun Watson starts to exude more of the qualities that we all saw on film from Houston, guess what? Kevin Stefanski is going to trust him more and more. In fact, you could argue...
I can build to it.
You could argue he trusted him on that bootleg. Now, maybe some of the trust waned after his decision-making led to what could have been a game-losing turnover. But we'll see. You have time to work on this, and they've got some competition coming up that I think Kevin Stefanski probably has some confidence in his guys over the next month.
I would hope so. But I again, it's got to build towards all this because, gosh, it started out as bad as it could. Last week it got a little bit better. Hopefully this week gets a little bit better. He doesn't need to be Hercules right off the top. The times are coming. Against Cincinnati on October 20th, the times are coming. So he's going to have to step in there and probably be that guy, even though Joe Burrow has problems against us, so maybe he will, maybe he won't. But at some point, he's going to be tested, and then we will judge him based on that, and then we can go and talk about it. And I'm either going to be confirmed that he is not the type of quarterback that he used to be and that we need to make the best of what we are and that I've been real about this the entire time, or I've been wrong about this. But we're in this spot where it's very, very frustrating. It's frustrating for you and I. I think it's very frustrating for Nick in the afternoon because he keeps talking about people moving goalposts. I was in the bathroom getting ready for the preview show yesterday, and I was hearing him talking about moving the goalposts. And the analogy he made was great about his kids missing winter down in Carolina and then not missing winter or hating winter up here in Cleveland. Like, you don't know what you want. I do think, though, that we hear what we're mistaken is you and I and Nick and a lot of radio shows, we are hearing different people, but we mix them into one. I don't think that the same people are wishy-washy on Deshaun Watson. I think there's people who think he's not good, they don't like him, they think this is a waste of time, and they're not going to turn their eyes on anything else until he shows that he's the previous quarterback. Then there are people who think that those people are nuts and that what he's doing right now is good, which I can't get a grip on any of it. I can't. If you thought what you saw on Sunday was an elite performance, you are crazy. There's no way to say it. There's no other way to say it. Like, you need an evaluation. If you thought that was an elite performance and you're putting out fire emojis on that, you're nuts. If you can't be satisfied, then you're just going to be miserable the entire time. There's no other way to say it, guys. So I got to find the best one for it. I don't need him against the Giants because I think our defense will swallow up Daniel Jones. I don't need him to go out there and do these crazy things because I think he needs to have just a fine game, not turn the ball over, and we'll get out of there with a 20-6 win.
Well, I get that we have been so turned off by the trade over 2 years, then the injury happens. Like, I get that the city wants to see the return. The reality is...
Well, there was last week, too.
It looked terrific. The reality is they don't really need to see the return this week against the Giants. I know we want to get it every week, but the reality is that this offense is humming by the time they get to that stretch October 13th. That's what I'm looking at. Because they're going to need to be way better.
I like that.
Deshaun's going to have to be on another level for that stretch of six games.
You're right. I overlooked the Eagles game just because it was in orange up there, and that's my fault. You're right. That game on October 13th, the Eagles are a... Boy, a lot of people are going after Howie Roseman, though, lately. I don't know if you've noticed that. Some of those picks are... little shaky recently. I know he's God's gift to the game.
Sure, but you expect the Eagles to still be contending for a playoff spot and to still be formidable unless the wheels totally come off. That's when, talent-wise, it's not going to be nearly as easy as I think the next few weeks are.
216-474-092. All right, let me get to Sean in Bedford real quick. Then I got to play this audio. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Sean.
Want to talk about Deshaun Watson, man. Here's my problem with it, man. The guy's a human being. Just because he makes $230 million doesn't make him a robot and doesn't make him a superhero. If your father just passed away, your roommate passed away, you're coming off injury, you have all this stuff surrounding you, imagine this guy's mindset.
Okay, but Sean, that's your choice to feel that way. For most people, a lot of players are just vessels for their enjoyment, and so they are going to treat them as robots. If you feel that way, then that's your prerogative to feel that way. But I got to still look at it and go, hey, the defenses, as crass as this may sound, they don't care about anybody's personal life or personal problems. They're going after people because they're headhunters and they're trying to make their money too.
Sean,
so they have to answer to that.
Sean, the only thing I would ask, and maybe it's ridiculous when you've seen guys over the years deal with the stuff that they do, like Kobe Bryant always comes up to me, like somebody who was in the middle of a big time court battle for a lot was on the line when he was in Eagle Colorado, and then he would just calmly fly back and drop 40 or hit game winners. Like not, these guys aren't all built the same way. I do think a legitimate question was going to be for Deshaun, like, how is he going to deal with the distractions? And to be fair, like, over the first 2 years, he didn't deal with them all that great.
Right, and all I'm saying is, from the human being aspect, anybody, any other human being can. If all of that happened to you, you're not coming to work on Monday and performing your best. And he still went out there and performed better than the Dallas game and got the win. So do people care about Deshaun Watson being a $230 million Joe Burrow-type quarterback, or do they care about the Browns winning? Because as far as I'm concerned, if he plays like that for the rest of the year and the Browns make it to the AFC Divisional Playoffs, everybody is going to be on the bandwagon. We're not even going to be talking about what happened against Dallas.
I agree with you on that, Sean. I think there's several people out there that don't. I think that they're holding him to a... They're holding him to a standard that he needs to perform at an elite level to fulfill the contract. And if they go out there, and even if they lose to Patrick Mahomes, it's going to give them all the fire in the world to start yelling and screaming about it because they just don't like the guy.
Cleveland, instead of just tearing down the guy, we tear down our athletes. Build him up. Come to the stadium. Cheer for him. Deshaun, we got your back. We got your back.
Well, Ken says fans should boo when they want to boo. Ken's a big believer in booing.
I disagree with Sean.
He thinks it's a good way to release your frustration.
I think if Myles Garrett walked down the street right now, I think that there would be people offering to carry his bags. I think that there would be people offering to walk his dogs. I think there would be people offering to pick up the dog droppings from his dogs. I think that we love our athletes. To a degree, I think that we're not critical enough of our athletes. And I'm one of the ones that are guilty of that, certainly. I've been accused of that. I've been accused of soft pedaling because I like guys personally. And by the way, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
Do you think there's a chance, maybe the last caller would agree with this, the amount of home games that they have booed Deshaun Watson, do we think maybe cheering Deshaun Watson might get him and his confidence up? Your thoughts, Ken Carmen?
If he were out there doing poorly?
That the booing, we're talking about the psychology of a man who's been dealing with all that he's been dealing with, especially away from the football field.
So we should cheer him?
The death of family members and beloved friends, along with all the other stuff he's dealing with off the field right now.
I don't lack sympathy with any of that. I think you're trying to paint me into a corner you shouldn't be painting me into.
Well, you said if fans want to boo, they should boo. And the last caller is like, well, what does booing help? How much does booing help? Is that going to help?
Booing doesn't really help anything. It helps you release your anger in the most constructive way possible. I don't want people to just sit there on their hands out of anger, because then they'll just stop going. If you take away booing, then they're just going to stop coming. That's the last thing any professional franchise wants.
Booing doesn't help. Does cheering help?
Yes.
Then why not cheer?
Why would you cheer if things are going badly?
To help.
Because it helps.
Are you crazy?
Well, you just said that you thought it could help and cheering build guys help. Up. The caller Booing said build help. Them up.
Am I in a different... What life am I in right now? Did I just die and end up in some alternative universe? What are you talking about cheering Owen, if they're doing poorly?
Owen was taking you through a logic progression there.
Yes.
You admitted that you thought cheering helped. You said booing doesn't help, so why boo?
Because it helps the fans deal with their emotions.
But the fans aren't the ones they trying on the to help field. Win the game in that wins. Scenario.
So
it kind of sounds like the fans are only hurting the team in that regard.
That's right.
Again, based on what
that's
you
under
said.
Your logic.
Yes, your logic.
Well, booing does not help them do better.
And maybe it does. I don't know. But maybe some team. Why would you not try to help the team?
Yeah, I think that. Don't you want to be a good fan?
Well, wait a minute. If they're cheering, they also cheer. They do the yays and they do the boos.
Well, if you think about booing, go, that's going to hurt the team.
So cheer.
I'm going to cheer instead.
You don't have. What are you saying here? Wait a minute. They cheer because they believe it helps the team. They boo because they're mad.
Have they been booing when Deshaun has a down spot in a game
yes.
at home?
Yes. Every game last year and every game this year, which is one.
Do you think that in one of those down spots that could occur in this Sunday's contest against the New York Giants...
They will boo.
Do you think they will boo?
Yes.
Do you think that they should instead cheer because, as you have told us, booing hurts the team, cheering helps.
Yeah, you want to help the team, not hurt them.
Did I say it hurts?
You did.
I just don't think it... No, I think I said it didn't help. I didn't think I said it hurts.
Well, do you want to help or do you want to not help?
I'd like to help. That's just my personal philosophy on all this. Ken maybe thinks differently.
Lima, are you crazy? You're the one who sat there and tried to tell fans a couple years ago that we are all just one great big gray face to professional football players.
Oh,
that all stadiums are the same.
Yeah,
I got a memory too there, Slippery Wizard. You ain't getting me.
And I do believe that. I don't think they ever really care where they're at.
Okay, so why would then...
Why
would you even make the argument then that the cheering helps and that the booing hurts?
Well, I've always wondered, just from an athlete's...
Miles Garrett, one of the great players in Cleveland, the greatest defensive player in the history of the franchise,
for him.
Also told people they can go right on ahead and boo. He did that after the Cowboys game.
Of course, the difference between Miles and everybody else is he seems to have the psyche where he doesn't get rattled by the fans. Unfortunately, you don't have a full football team of those guys. You have a lot of guys that are a little vulnerable. And
are they texting you after the game telling you that they're pouting and they're sad?
Their psyche is a little fragile.
Well, I don't know if they're in the right business then.
Can't build them all out
Boy,
of Miles
you,
Garrett.
You've had a hell of a day
we
trying to make me
53
feel...
53 Miles Garretts running around out there.
That'd be nice. You want 22 Solomons running right. around, but you want 22 Garretts.
One hell of a day out of trying to make me feel better. Well, if we had 22 Garretts, we'd be... we'd be pooping diamonds right now, man. I mean, good God. You've made a hell of a day out of trying to make me feel bad for well-heeled people. You understand that, don't you? I mean, Adrian, he has to carry a phone in his shower.
It's hard to go to the urinal.
It's a $20 million contract.
How does he make love when he's getting those tweets? Or just does he not? Does he set that aside?
Well, Shannon Sharp told me two things can be done at once.
Well, Shannon's phone was on the floor. He's not getting any breaking news.
If that happened to Adrian Wojnarowski, I'd like that too. I love love, man. I love people being together.
Does Adrian Woj have to tell the agents to schedule their breaking news around his romance?
If his marriage were in crisis, yes.
That's interesting.
Wait a minute. You got two small kids. He probably... I don't want to get in the guy's bedroom.
That's what we're doing.
Does he schedule such a thing?
Yeah, I wonder if he has to.
That'll be part of our new segment, In Room with Adrian Wojnarowski.
No, those newlyweds out there... When you got the little ones, you got to schedule it.
Mitch, see if you can get Woj on the hotline.
When you got
free time.
When you got breaking news about Isaac Okoro coming in, you got to schedule it. That's probably what it did. He probably had just finished. He's having a cigarette, and he goes, Isaac Okoro, really? I'm done. I'm out.